And when we last left off, they had sort of gone back to their lives after this event happened. But on October 25th, 1965, on the front page of the Boston Traveler, there was the headline, UFO chiller, did they seize couple?
The only Boston Traveler I'm familiar with is Kevin McHale.
Shut the fuck up. Kevin McHale in this house is a goddamn legend, and we will speak highly upon him whenever his name comes up in conversation. We will not denigrate the good name of Kevin McHale.
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Fuck Trump and fuck you if you like him.
And Ryan.
I'm watching the Bruins get absolutely shit on 2-1 right now. Oh, God, it's so bad.
Fuck the Bruins and fuck you if you like. I'm just kidding.
I like that the Cup of Four Nations or whatever game, it like the U.S. and Canada just immediately turned into Slapshot. But then,
Canada raked them over the coals last night.
It was bad.
I mean, it was tied, and they scored the tying goal, but that's any hockey game. They dominated.
Dude, I couldn't watch it, because overtime came, and I was just like, my heart cannot take overtime right now.
I love America, and that's why I again, James Baldwin quote, one of my favorite quotes ever. It's my favorite country in the world, and I reserve the right to criticize her, perpetuity is what he says.
Yeah, perpetuity.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's my favorite thing. So if anyone wants to come at me about not being a patriot or nationalist, but I wasn't rooting for the USA in that fucking hockey game. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was hoping they'd fucking lose. You know, I don't want any national fucking fervor moments or any of that kind of shit right now. And co-opted by that fucking scumbag.
That was the one time I was hoping that we would win against Canada or any other country.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
But that's it.
I'm so sorry.
That was it.
I do like that the NPR had a story talking about the game.
Yeah.
And they just were interviewing random people, and that they found, like, probably one of the drunkest people. And you have the very, like, stone-sober, like, NPR reporter.
Tom Brady level? Tom Brady at the Super Bowl party level drunk, or...?
And this, like, edited down guy, like, the 51st state.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just dumb shit. Just completely dumb shit.
It's all distraction.
It was dumb shit, but it was very clearly, like, me. In that, like, I'm at a sports event and I'm blackout drunk.
if he found the drunkest person, then he was definitely at the Super Bowl after party in Philly. Not. Not there.
So many pictures of, like, the general manager of the team, and I think that one receiver, it's sad I can't think of his name, but, you know, they had the beer can, like, welts on their head.
Oh, yeah.
Howie Roseman was the GM, and then I can't remember the fucking Cooper DeJean, I think, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unbelievable, bro. Did you just get hit in the head with a beer and not, like, immediately just be like, are you... I'll fucking kill you.
You know, they're used to throwing batteries, the extra weight, you know, they didn't know how to, like, balance it.
There's the one thing he was successful at, one policy decision he made in his first go-round, the first circus, was he told us that a can of soup, you know, that's really the ideal implement.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That's a weapon.
Because you can't, you know, you can't. What was it? Potatoes or something people were throwing or something? That's not good, but a can of soup. You could really get a hold of that and whack it.
They just say it's soup for my family.
He was just... he wasn't coming up with anything new there. He was just telling you how he killed small animals when he was younger, you know?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
It was I'm going to be insufferable. Bit. Trust me. I'll stop now. Just in the case one of our, I think, 4.5
be
listeners.
Be insufferable.
Oh, he's so bad, dude.
I'm here for it.
He fired the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff last night, and he got Hegseth to do it. And right before the election, before Hegseth was appointed, Hegseth said, he suggested that CQ, I forget his last name, but that he was hired, that he was just a DEI hire, potentially. Mm-hmm. Like, he was probably hired because he was black. Mm-hmm. And then they replace him with a white guy who's quoted as saying to Trump, I love you. I love you. I love what you do. I'll support you. I'll shoot people for you.
I can't say. I can't say what I really want to say about Elon Musk and Donald Trump because I don't want the feds to be like,
fuck it, dude. We're all fucked. What are you talking about? You could not say it and they'll come now. You got fucking moron who can't even get his Twitter title right when he fucking becomes the FBI head. It said the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Why? Because he's a fucking idiot. Fuck.
You know, half our listeners are feds. You know, some of them were assigned to listen to us. Some of them, you know, they got spread around the office and they like what they heard, so they're listening for that reason.
Look,
but that's Steve, what we're following. We gotta deliver to that.
You can't tell me that Cash Patel doesn't just sound like a fucking, like, some friend of Tom Haverford in Parks and Recreation, you know? Oh, this is my cousin, Cash Patel. he's the crypto guy.
I swear to God, it looks like they just walked around the RNC and just kind of like threw out red hats to kids that were like 20 years old that looked like they knew what they were doing on a computer. No interviews whatsoever. Just like, you're young enough to know about computer things. Here, take this red hat and come work for me.
Don't even get me started.
I'm just surprised that Cash Patel didn't pull a Tom Haverford where he just like completely anglicized his name, like Bobby Jindal, one of those.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Nah, Cash Patel's going to ride that name. Think about that name. He's riding that one all the way to the wheels fall off.
No, he wrote it while he was selling cures for the COVID vaccine on Twitter, because he's definitely qualified to be in the FBI. All right.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for him to get bodied by the Driz, but anyway.
Speaking of the Driz.
Yes, speaking of the Driz, so last week we talked about Betty and Barney Hill. How they were allegedly abducted by aliens, and they discovered this through hypnosis and also through investigations by NICAP, which they did interviews with.
Alleged.
And when they last left off, they had sort of gone back to their lives after this event happened. But on October 25th, 1965, on the front page of the Boston Traveler, there was the headline, UFO chiller, did they seize couple?
The only Boston Traveler I'm familiar with is Kevin McHale.
Shut the fuck up. Kevin McHale in this house is a goddamn legend, and we will speak highly upon him whenever his name comes up in conversation. We will not denigrate the good name of Kevin McHale.
Just a drama about an older and younger generation of Irish Americans, how the household's riven over the election and, you know, the Kennedys.
My grandmother on her fireplace mantle has Jesus Christ, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, and Bob Orr.
Hey, calm down, okay? The man wears shorts that look like he was an Instagram whore, all right? That one fucking scene in The Sopranos, I can't. Oh my God, I can't even say it. It's so bad.
Reporter John H. Luttrell of The Traveler had allegedly been given an audio tape recording of the lecture the Hills made in Quincy Center in late 1963. Luttrell learned that the Hills had undergone hypnosis with Simon. He also obtained notes from confidential interviews.
Wait, like the handheld, like pattern recognition game, Simon.
What?
Like they hypnotized him with a Simon. Hey, just get the pattern. That fucking episode of It's Always Sunny where Charlie does it and it does like one. He hits it and he's like, "Oh, this is pretty easy." And then he throws one extra note and he's like, "Oh, whoa, wait a minute."
Oh, whoa.
That threw me for a loop. It's just like, wait a minute. Bro, it said red green. What the fuck is wrong with you?
On October 26th, the United Press International picked up Luttrell's story, and the Hills earned international attention. In 1963, writer John J. Fuller secured the cooperation of the Hills and Simon and wrote the book The Interrupted Journey about the case. Excerpts from the book were published in Look magazine. The book included a copy of Betty's sketch of the quote-unquote star map, and the book was a quick success and went through several printings.
Okay, so I'm confused. Back up a little bit. What is star map?
During her hypnosis,
it's a map, which Steve we covered in the last Hills. Episode.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah.
No, it's a map Steve got in Beverly Hills so he could find out where Kim Basinger lives. He loves that Kim Basinger.
Oh, boy, so that's a random celebrity.
First one I thought of.
A modest house for her talent.
I tell you what, you know why my brain went there? Because I was in this store called, what the hell's the name of that store? Anyway, it's this store that in the mall over here that has like, it's a store in the mall that just sells like old shit. And there was this, I keep telling my buddy he needs a new fucking hat. And there was a Batman hat from like Batman, Michael Keaton Batman. And that's why I thought of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a Batman 89 hat?
A Batman 89 hat, dude. I mean, it was like, it looked like it was in the back of someone's, you know, dying Volkswagen Rabbit or something like that, but you know.
Did you buy it?
No, man.
I've been in there before. It's named after the one character from Pretty in Pink, I think.
Yeah, what is it? Newbies or Bookies or something? I don't know. Can't remember.
Yeah.
But it's like all old shit. Like it's like all stuff. Like I took some pictures. I took a picture. They had one of those like standard Bell telephones, but it was the one that had like the light up buttons on it and shit.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was the joint back in the day, bro. The trim line,
that's that old.
The trim line 210. When you only got a, you didn't go to Radio Shack for a phone. You called the phone company and they fucking sent you one.
They delivered you a phone. The phone company.
These kids today, they don't know. They don't know. That's why we got headsets in there. They didn't have phones. No communication skills. Nothing.
Speaking of the younger generation, though, I met a kid that didn't know that Beyonce was once part of a girl group called Destiny's Child, and I just felt nauseous.
So you know that you know that shit was 20 years ago, right? Like that's like asking a kid in the 80s if he knows about like I don't know, Bobby Valley. I mean,
if you're like a Beyonce fan, you should know. I don't care how old you are.
I don't think he was ready.
You're just that old guy where you're just like, you've never heard of this band.
In that moment, I felt so old.
You're not on the same level as the character from I think You Should Leave, who talks about like jazz musicians.
Yeah,
but like dating the much younger girl.
No, it's not that bad yet. But I definitely will like flip through TV channels, like to like in the rooms, like in patient rooms in the ER, and they'll be talking about like musicians, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? Oh god, I'm old.
Look, bro, I'm telling you, the good thing about Destiny's Child breaking up was we got what's her name? I forget her fucking name, but she had that Motorola Sidekick, and she was texting in Microsoft Excel.
Oh my god, yes, in that music video.
I don't think you're ready.
You know, Destiny's Child's name was very on point, because there was a child of Destiny, and it was Beyonce who was in the group.
Yeah, she got groomed by Jay-Z. It's like straight up, like that's like he was like already in a relationship with her when she was like 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's gross.
Anyway, I'm not really concerned about like Cash Patel or any of those fucking morons. I'm concerned about Jay-Z. Jay-Z, don't kill me. All right.
You just gotta leave some baby oil outside your door and you'll be fine.
Oh, it's like putting the Red Cross on your door back in the day. It's like they pass you over.
It's like a what's the Jewish thing you put by your door?
Oh,
is it mezuzah?
It's a mezuzah. Yeah.
Yeah. The little white prayer plaque or whatever you like nail in front of your on your door.
Yeah, mezuzah. It contains a parchment from the Torah.
The
original, first edition Torah, they've just been ripping little pieces of paper off of it.
It's like the true cross in Noah's Ark. Years. You know, the Catholic Church has enough pieces of the true cross to make, you know, a sailing ship.
Well, that's actually why the Pope is now apparently on his deathbed. Is I think the Jews have gotten more pieces, you know. What?
I think that is true, if I'm not mistaken. Because they were auctioning off pieces of the cross, but it was like the size of like toothpicks, like splinters.
Steve, you really need to stop reading, you know, Mel Gibson's dad's newsletter.
Look, did you watch that? I don't watch Rogan, and I've almost watched him this week because Magnus Carlsen was on there. But fuck that. I'm done with him. But did you see that... what the fuck was it? Who was on the show? Mel Gibson. Did you see that one?
I heard Joe Rogan's show. Yeah. I only saw the quote where he talked about how.
Yeah, that's the one that went around. I know where you're going.
Where he was denying climate change while his house burned down.
No, that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one that was a very good highlight as well. I'm talking about where he's talking about he has two friends that were cured of stage 4 cancer with ivermectin. And like all this other bullshit.
I heard about that, but that's part of the course for him.
Fire him into the sun with speed.
Hey, listen here, sugar tits. That's how it goes.
I'm all about what's his name's thing, Denzel. Did I say that last week too? I've been saying it to a lot of people. That interview we did.
I don't think so.
He was doing an interview, and they he said, you know, I don't know how your generation does it. Like, you know, when I woke up in the morning when I was your age, I didn't have instant access to 3 million opinions, and I have to know what all of them are and like how to respond to them and all that other stuff. I'm like, yeah. He was saying like basically when you wake up in the morning, don't take your phone out. You know,
sleep alone for a little while.
He's like, you know what I'm talking about.
You don't have to jump right on your phone as soon as you open your fucking eyes in the morning. And I find that people are like, oh, I start my day by scrolling my phone. And I'm like, why would you start your day by scrolling your phone? That's fucking awful. Like, you just get blasted immediately with bad news.
I have to for my job, but I usually put it away and then I do like an hour of meditation.
As soon as you open your eyes, you have to do it for your job?
I open it up and I have to look at my email and make sure there's no, like, disasters going on. That's my job.
Ugh.
But I don't keep it out. I do my thing and then I go about my meditation for about an hour. So
tragedy would strike the couple on February 25th of 1969 when Barney would die of a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 46.
How'd he die?
After which Betty just
said I was waiting for one of you to say something. Steve just went over
just
it.
Said,
well, he's real live, so, you know. He probably just didn't hear me. That's fine.
No, Steve just was dumb. You dumbed your shit.
Steve's the kind of teacher. It's like, you know, I said it one time. That's all they needed. You didn't remember what I said? Well, you know what? Life's going to be real rough for you, fucker.
Oh, shit. Get a helmet.
Yeah.
After this, Betty would go on to become a celebrity in the UFO community, and she would kind of make like the UFO circuit, and she would do a lot of like UFO observations with people. And she was like very into it. Barney was not into it very much. It was sort of a thing that happened that he was just like trying to get over, whereas Betty became like obsessed with it. And I think it's sort of the difference in their recollections of the event.
Was he more, like, passive or, like, actively against it?
I would say that it's not that he was, like, actively against it, but he was just, like, he didn't really want to be involved in it.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Betty would eventually die on October 17th, 2004, at the age of 85, of cancer.
Aw. Cancer from damn near being abducted. Who knows what kind of radiation she was taking on?
Yeah, I believe that's called cosmic cancer, I think.
It's because medical science can't detect the differences yet of radiation from Zeta Reticuli and radiation from Earth.
Steve.
Yeah, I wish
Steve,
these fucking idiots could.
What the fuck, dude?
Take some goddamn ivermectin.
What did I tell you before the episode? No science, all right? God damn, not in the mood.
It's an anti-science podcast right now.
Ugh, yeah. Yep. I already had to be around a bunch of vaccine shedders earlier today.
Oh my god.
That's alright, I took my cash Patel improved shedding destruction pill.
It's all good. I got my dose of ivermectin in the mail, and I got some hydroxychloroquine from urgent care.
These people are safe. Such morons. Like that. The reason I said that Denzel thing was just the access to the internet has ruined us as a people, because it's not just equitable access. Like, it's not just access to smart people. And it's funny because this sounds sort of elitist, but do you know what I mean? Like, some dumb people shouldn't have access to other people in the level that they do. You know?
No. Here's the deal. They should. And because they should have the access. The problem is society.
This eternal September argument I'm making over here.
Listen, as a society, we have abandoned, and this is going to be unpopular, we've abandoned bullying. Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now, this second.
I agree with the tenor of what you're about to say.
Some of these morons, they would just shut up. Be like, just bully them into shutting up to be like, well, you are so goddamn stupid. Please shut the fuck up.
Did you listen to the Behind the Bastards of Curtis Yarvin?
No.
Okay. Maybe you shouldn't bully people.
Wait, he's Curtis Yarvin?
He's like the philosopher, quote unquote, behind J.D. Vance and Peter Thiel.
Yeah, he's like Peter Thiel's like private,
it's
like
his muse, you know?
Yeah,
he's okay, a former member of Cult of the Dead Cow. With him and Beto O'Rourke were on that. I was around Cult of the Dead Cow when I was like 8.
People like Peter Thiel should have been fucking bullied as a child.
Okay. So Curtis was, and there's probably a good reason why he's where he is.
Where is he?
Philosophically bankroll, like mentally bankrolling the two most shitty people on Earth right now, maybe for us, arguably.
Okay,
like
well,
they believe in his shit.
This one edge case aside, right?
I think there's probably more cases than that. I understand that like some people need to be slapped every once in a while. I do believe that. But not bullied. No way.
Like, I don't mean bully like every day.
Like Stephen Miller, right? Like Stephen Miller, like every one of those videos I see of him in high school where he's doing like the little like preachy like thing about like whatever, and the people who don't
fuck.
Yeah, and the people who have never read the fucking Paradox of Tolerance are just like sitting there putting up with it. And you're just like, dude, why is this video not ending with someone slapping him his fucking jaw? Like, he's an idiot, and he shouldn't even be allowed to sit there.
Stephen Miller should be put in a trash can like Immortal Technique did to Lin-Manuel Miranda in high school.
100%. I'm sure Immortal Technique.
Yes, really
Immortal Technique probably apologized by now. Hopefully.
But yes, Immortal Technique
it would
literally
be
put
technique.
Lin-Manuel Miranda into a trash can in high school.
That's fucking awesome.
I could see that, though, you know?
Oh, yeah,
some of these theater kids, you know what? You know why they're so popular and rich? Because they didn't get bullied enough, you know?
In 1968, Marjorie Fish of Oak Harbor, Ohio, read Fuller's book, Interrupted Journey. She was an elementary school teacher and amateur astronomer. She was intrigued by the star map that Fish, and she wondered if it might be deciphered to determine which star system the UFO came from. Assuming that one of the 15 that's a galaxy.
Butterfinger.
Mars bar. Mars.
This came right from the Mars
bar. Baby Ruth.
This came from the Quix galaxy.
Ruth. Shit, we might have a conclave soon, boys.
Hey, listen, completely apropos of nothing we were just talking about. The best insult I ever heard was the other day. Somebody told this other guy, he told him that he probably eats Snicker bars upside down to feel the vein on his tongue.
Oh, man.
I cackled like a fucking idiot. It's still funny right now. It's excellent. It's perfect.
Ryan just doing the Cape Fear cigar laugh at it.
a hearty guffaw.
Anyway,
assuming that one of the 15 stars on the map must represent Earth's sun, Fish constructed a three-dimensional model of nearby sun-like stars, which are stars deemed to have characteristics that could support life, such as that found on Earth. Using thread and beads, basing stellar distances on those published in the 1969. Guise star catalog.
Think Charlie from It's Always Sunny, that picture with him holding a cigarette with a thread in between each.
Yeah, the Pepe Sylvia picture.
Is that
Pepe Sylvia? Everyone went, like, there was this whole goddamn thing about, like, who's Pepe Sylvia on, like, Reddit. It's so obvious that he just can't read, so he's reading Pennsylvania. Like, that's exactly what it is. Like, it's not a yeah. mystery, you know, but there was, like, this whole mystery, like, scoop thread. Like, what is Pepe Sylvia? I'm like, you guys just want something to do. What the fuck?
Studying thousands of vantage points over several years, the only one that seemed to match the hill map was from the viewpoint of the double star system Zeta Reticuli, which is about 39 light years from Earth.
Hmm. Hop, skip, and a jump.
Fish sent her analysis to Webb, as in of the Webb Observatory fame. Agreeing with her conclusions, Webb sent the map to Terence Dickinson, editor of the magazine Astronomy. Dickinson did not embrace Fish and James Webb's conclusions, but for the first time in the journal's history, Astronomy invited comments and debate on a UFO report, starting with an opening article in the December 1974 issue. For about a year afterward, the opinions page of Astronomy carried arguments for and against Fish's star map. Notable was an argument made by Carl Sagan and Steven Soder, arguing that the quote-unquote star map was little more than a random alignment of chance points.
I like how you say Sagan, like Johnny Rizzo says New York Dragons, you know? Sagan. Carl Sagan. call 62250, they call me Big Hawk. All right, 62280, they call you Big Cock. Okay. Well, what do you play for? The Canarsie, the Bayside Raiders. Oh, yeah, over there, Canarsie. The Cornwall Dragons. Cornwall Dragons. Nobody's going to know what the fuck I was just talking about, but it's the Jerky Boys called Big Hawk.
Yeah.
Hotel Oscar Charlie Kilo. Go check it out.
In an episode of Cosmos in 1980, Sagan demonstrated that without the lines drawn in the maps, the hill map bore no resemblance to the real-life map.
If I take this, I've received billions of questions about this. Look at the map when I take the lines off. Billions. I love Sagan.
In contrast, those more favorable to the map, such as David Saunders, a statistician who had been on the Condon UFO study, disagreed. Saunders claimed that a match among 16 stars of the specific spectral type among the 1,000 stars nearest the sun is at least quote-unquote, at least a 1,000 to 1 against.
Oof.
In the early 1990s, European Hipparcos, which is a high-precision parallax-collecting satellite mission, which measured the distances to more than 100,000 stars around the sun more accurately than had previously been done, showed that some of the stars in Fish's interpretation of the map were in fact much farther than previously thought. Other research revealed that some stars counted by Fish as likely to host life would have had to be excluded by her own criteria, while some other stars which had been discounted by Fish have been recognized as potential abodes for life. Results such as these led Fish herself to reject her hypothesis in a public statement.
I mean, like, they're lying, right? So, like, do you find this kind of, like, a waste of time? Like, I feel it's almost beneath Sagan to even comment on it more than once.
Well, I mean, I think the question of if they're lying or not sort of comes up at the end with some of the information I'm gonna bring into this whole picture to blow it up.
Okay, well, if.
Wait. Who's lying? If.
Who's lying?
Fucking Betty Hill. Like,
I want to make sure. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's not a single verifiable UFO incident. Not one. Because if there was, it would be known by everyone. If it was fucking, it's so fucking obvious that everybody would fucking know what it is, period. It's ridiculous.
I will just say that Betty and, like,
I still love
people
it,
talk about her later on in life, that she does come off very, like, kind of, like, crazy. Like UFO believer crazy, oh, crazy, shit. Like.
Well, but, call her, like, me fucking surprised.
Like, I am floored.
Like Linda Moulton Howe, crazy.
Yeah. Hi, George.
I am floored that she would come across as crazy later on in life, like a UFO believer.
I love UFO stuff.
Taken
it's fun.
Aback.
It's fun, but. There's not a single verifiable lens. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, yeah, we say that when we got all these parts and shut the fuck up, stupid motherfucker.
God damn. Captured the Betty and Barney Hill UFO experience by Betty Hill's niece, Kathleen Martin, further explored Fuller's themes along with scientists Stanton T. Friedman.
There he is, head of the what is it? UFON?
He was with MUFON.
Yeah, MUFON. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Martin, who sat on the board of the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, for 10 years, knew Betty well and had spoken with her at great length about the encounter.
You know what Jim UFO McDon- guys are like? You know what? I just got this off my chest. UFO guys are like... oh, my God. Never mind.
Jim McDonald, a resident of the area in which the Hills claim to have been abducted, has produced a detailed analysis of their journey, which concludes that the episode was provoked by their misperceiving an aircraft warning beacon on Cannon Mountain as a UFO.
There you go.
One of those things where it's like, if you're primed to believe these kind of things, if you are deep into the UFO lore, if you really believe that aliens and grays are a real thing, if you're primed to believe this, then things like signal lights or airplane wing lights flashing will automatically trigger that UFO response instead of a rational response.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're definitely nurture, too. And then there's some nature there, too. it's like arguing McDonald's, with religious people, basically, you know? It's like the same every single time.
Ufology is very much a religious, like, movement, and even Jacques Vallée describes it in the same way as one would describe, like, getting into, like, magical traditions.
Mm-hmm. Like hermeticism and all that crap.
Yeah.
I can see that.
McDonald notes that from the road the Hills took, the beacon appears and disappears at the same time the Hills describe the UFO as appearing and disappearing. The remainder of the experience is ascribed to stress, sleep deprivation, and false memories, quote-unquote, recovered under hypnosis. After reading McDonald's recreation, UFO expert Robert Schieffer writes that the Hills are the, quote-unquote, poster children for not driving when sleep-deprived.
wow.
In the Skeptical Inquirer, Schieffer also wrote,
quote, Schieffer, eat my whole ass, Betty.
Well, I was present at the National UFO Conference in New York City in 1980, at which Betty presented some of the UFO photos she had taken. She showed what must have been far more than 200 slides, mostly of blips, blurs, and blobs against a dark background. These are supposed to be UFOs coming in close, chasing her car, landing, etc. After her talk had exceeded about twice its allotted time, Betty was literally jeered off the stage by what had been at first a sympathetic audience. This incident, witnessed by many of ufology's leaders and top activists, removed any lingering doubts about Betty's credibility. She had none. In 1995, Benny Hill wrote a self-published book, A Common Sense Approach to UFOs. It is filled with delusional stories, such as seeing entire squadrons of UFOs in flight and a truck levitating above the freeway.
Look at that truck. That's not a Fata Morgana. That's aliens.
At the conference where she's jeered off stage, right, because she's got no credibility, which – and I'm not trying to defend her in this instance or anything, right? But
yeah, you are.
She's jeered off stage by these people, right? They're leaders and they're activists.
Right.
What other evidence do they have in 1980 of UFO? Why are you jeering this lady off who has just as much evidence as you guys do, even though she's just a little bit crazier?
Well, like, she's like the Liz Cheney.
You're all still under the same umbrella of crazy.
Well, she went over time is one thing that...
Yeah, how dare you?
She went over a lot of time, and that she was just talking about, like, just going on about the UFOs, which she had nothing other than these pictures of, like, blobs that she was describing.
Look, Ryan, when you go over time at these things, okay, what happens is you take time away from the host, which in this case was Bob Hope, who came out and ushered her out with a golf club.
This is actually a USO show?
Yeah. It's a good thing I got Betty Hill out of here. We're all smarter for it. It takes a whack with the golf club.
Now watch this drive.
Yeah, exactly. We must find and stop these terrorist killers. Now watch this drive. Remember when we thought that was the end of Western civilization? You remember that? Remember when we thought that? Oh, man.
Now we just think it's quaint and humorous.
Yeah, now we're just like, oh, what a cutie.
Remember the mission accomplished?
Oh, my God. The mission accomplished thing? I thought it was the most, like, ethically bankrupt thing I've ever seen a government official do. It's, like, so obvious that no mission was accomplished. Like, we're going to be there for another decade.
Now, Ryan, you say that, but I feel that when he did that, it was the utmost amount of courage and the epitome of a president.
You see that?
Now, if the current sitting president was to land a jet on an aircraft carrier in such a fashion similar to that, you know, I would be won over as somebody who is questionable about that president.
Fuck that. I want to see Elon assemble a computer. That's what I want to say.
No, Steve, like what I'm asking for is for Donald Trump and Elon to pilot a jet, you know, pilot and co-pilot, and land it on an aircraft carrier.
Oh, my God. That is what would have to happen.
Here's the problem.
Honestly, Trump's got to do it without shitting himself. Like, I'm just going to throw that out there, you know?
My only issue with that.
What if they do it? That's the issue. What if they do it?
Yeah. It's impossible.
Look, a broken clock is right twice a day. You say, look, this dumbass will never be able to do this. He's going to crash on the side of the USS Ronald Reagan and kill
everybody. Let me give you an analogy.
Imagine he fucking
He
lands it perfectly.
I give you an analogy. It's like having Iceman and Maverick in the same cockpit. You can't do it. The Eagles will just rip the frame apart. I mean, you know.
Ryan, when I was 5, I could not land the jet on the aircraft carrier in the Top Gun NES game, and I guarantee you.
What is wrong with you guys? You guys are babies.
Steve over here with, I've beaten Battletoads. You haven't beaten Battletoads?
I loaded up. No cheats. I beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 on the NES. I beat Battletoads. And then I load that shit up, and I just land the plane constantly. And then I send snippets of myself holding like my hand up in the peace sign, like an Instagram girl. And just
I was with you up until the Top Gun landing of the aircraft on the aircraft carrier, because I believe that nobody, including developers, have ever landed that.
No, I do it all the time. And on top of that, oh man.
Remember when politics was really quaint and you could scream?
It was never that way, and
it would just you know, your whole career.
I think the thing is, it was just never that way. You know,
I don't know, man. Kind of, sort of was.
I think Howard Dean's just a coward. I think the context around Howard Dean at the time was more like it is now for us than it.
What do you mean?
I mean that like it's always been a catastrophe. Like, it's just been one catastrophe or failing of that side when they're in office, time in and time out and time in and time out. It's just the same thing. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse until we're at the point now where it's, like, literally falling to, like, fascist. And we're just, like, we're used to it. But at the same time, we're like, oh, my God, I wish Bush was in office. It's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
What's wrong with you? You do not. Yeah.
You started 2 wars. Why the fuck would you wish Bush was back, you stupid fuck?
I don't understand where people come from, you know?
Name one president you want back. Obama, what, you want more weddings and school buses drone struck? Okay, yeah, sure. I guess that's, you know. But they're just quiet about it, so I guess he's the nice guy. I don't know.
Do you want Clinton back? Do you want President
Nick sucked under the table and lies under oath? Okay, I mean, I'm with you in the first part, but fuck the second part. That's not cool.
Exactly. I'd vote for Betty Hill, though, you know?
Schieffer later wrote that as late as 1977, Betty Hill would go on UFO vigils at least 3 times a week.
The fuck is that?
Where she just goes out and strips down naked and looks at the sky and screams.
Bonnie!
One evening, she was joined by UFO enthusiast John Oswald. When asked about Betty's continuing UFO observations, Oswald stated, "She is not really seeing UFOs, but she is calling them that."
I gotta go. I gotta go pick up this this Carkliner rifle. that I just bought out of a magazine. I'm going to leave you two looking at these UFOs. I got an appointment in Dallas in a couple in Dealey Plaza here in a couple weeks.
I'm gonna have my wife take a picture of me with the rifle in today's newspaper if she knows what's good for her. Oh, and then,
you're a good communist. Look at my all black communist getup. Don't I look so terroristic and such a freedom fighter?
Don't say that. I wear all black all the time.
You don't wear Lee Harvey Oswald posing in his backyard black.
That's my look, bro.
On the night they went out together, he said Mrs. Hill was unable to distinguish between a landed UFO and a streetlight.
Jesus, later man. Interview, this woman's getting annihilated. I feel bad for her now.
In a later interview,
she couldn't see the broadside of a barn if you were slamming her head into it.
Schieffer recounts that Betty Hill wrote, UFOs are a new science, and our science cannot explain them. Schieffer released 48 pages of archived documents.
Well, yeah, because our science can't explain Lord of the Rings either.
Benjamin Simon and Philip J. Quass on the internet on December 23rd, 2015. In his 1990 article, entirely unpredisposed, Martin Kottmeyer suggested that Barney's memories revealed under hypnosis might have been influenced by, quote-unquote, the Bolero Shield, an episode of the science fiction anthology series The Outer Limits, which had been broadcast on February 10th, 1964, about 2 weeks before Barney's first hypnotic session.
Interesting.
The episode featured an unnamed extraterrestrial with large eyes who says, in all the universe and all the unities beyond the universe, all who have eyes that speak. The report from the regression featured a scenario in which that was in some respects similar to the television show. In part, Kottmeyer wrote, wraparound eyes are an extreme rarity in science fiction films. I know of only one instance. They appeared on an alien of an episode of an old TV series, The Outer Limits, titled The Bolero Shield. A person familiar with Barney's sketch in The Interrupted Journey and the sketch done in collaboration with the artist David Baker will find a frisson of deja vu creeping up his spine when seeing the episode. The resemblance is much abetted by the absence of ears, hair, and nose on both aliens. Could it be by chance? Consider this. Barney first described and drew the wraparound eyes during the hypnosis session dated February 22, 1964. The Bolero Shield was first broadcast on February 10, 1964. Only 12 days separate the two instances. If the identification is admitted, the commonness of wraparound eyes in the abduction literature falls to cultural forces.
Here's the thing, too, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The sheerest evidence that we have never had, or nobody has ever had, a face-to-face encounter with an alien life form is that when it's always described, it is always described as having humanoid features. They always use the word anthropomorphized. The UFO, like the common ones that you always hear, the grays and all that shit, it's always very commonly two eyes, a mouth, they talk to me, they always have two arms, two legs, they walk upright. It's like, dude, you gotta think, if this is a real thing, right? This came from thousands of trillions of light years.
I believe it was Zeta Reticuli, Ryan.
You're not gonna look like us.
Yeah, well, first off, it's 39 light years, Ryan.
Like they land here, and Kendrick Lamar just thought they not like us. They not like us.
Like you have to be on the beat. Now, if you were like, oh, I got sucked up by this thing, and it was like a gas cloud, and it like had eyeballs and just communicated telepathically, but it, like, I couldn't understand it. Like, all right, it at least lends itself to an air of credibility because you're not just being like, oh, he was gray with eyes and a mouth.
I will say that a lot of the mainstream ufology organizations, especially during this period, do edit down the accounts to make them more presentable, I will say, to like the nuts and bolts. Ufology theory, which is more of the theory that these are beings from outside our solar system coming here in crafts, and that they edit it purposely to fit into that, because it's often brought up as well. One of the podcasts I listen to, the host will go on about this, is that these people often experience other type of phenomena related to it, such as like poltergeist activity, maybe a Bigfoot sighting, But the people from like MUFON or NICAP or whatever during this period will just omit that because it doesn't fit into their own personal narrative
of
what a UFO is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course they will. Just like Jehovah's Witnesses won't admit that they were wrong about the end of the world fucking 17 times or something.
I do love end timing cults. There's a cult around.
And then they won't admit it. And then you tell people about it. And you show them, like, actual data. You show them, like, the actual events and all the lead up and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, that didn't happen,
actually. We calculated it wrong. It's actually, we were wrong by a magnitude of 8 years.
The man who said that, we shot in the head. I don't know. He shot himself, I think.
Oh, do we say 2001? We meant 2031.
Yeah.
You know, the Megiddo Bible code is a little hard to interpret at times.
Megiddo,
so.
The plains of Megiddo.
My calendar does not perfectly fit in with the Gregorian calendar, so, you know, we had to do some creative accounting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. When a different researcher asked Betty about the Outer Limits, she insisted she had never heard of it.
What's that? What is that?
Shut up, Betty.
Kottmeyer also pointed out that some motifs of the Hills account were present in the film Invaders from Mars from
1953.
In 2012, Jason Colavetto pointed out the fact that the Bolero Shield was the quote-unquote least important of the three Outer Limits episodes that aired in the weeks prior to Barney Hill's February 22, 1964, recovery of quote-unquote gray alien memories. He says that the episodes of February 3rd and February 17th were even more reminiscent of their story.
Okay.
The episode of February 3rd, 1964 is titled The Invisibles, featured an alien intelligence that orchestrates a conspiracy of human, quote-unquote, hosts who've been parasitized by alien organisms and are willing servants.
Oh, parasited. Okay.
The process of becoming a servant involves lying face down on a table and having one's lower back scratched with a scalpel, then having an alien organism placed in the wound to see if it will attach.
Scratched.
The surgical procedure is narrated in detail by an alien instructor and is shown three times, although the camera sees only the protagonist's naked upper body and gritted teeth. The
surgical procedure was narrated by Bob Hope.
No, Sue's. Who's actually
well, you see here, there,
or David Attenborough.
They're scratching the back with that scalpel. I wish I could get that. My back's itching like crazy.
It was actually the late Bob Uecker.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another scratching. 73 degrees here in the airport relic lounge.
Miles got me in.
Colavito states that, quote unquote, the surgical scenes, including the partial nudity, recall the anal alien probing described by Barney Hill.
Oh, shit. I was going to say that she's been pulling a lot out of her ass, so.
The episode of February 17th, 1964.
Well, go ahead. Tell me about things going in.
Was titled The Children of Spider County and featured a storyline involving the abduction of four men by an alien with wraparound eyes, which glow menacingly. Early in the episode, the protagonist's car is stopped, in fact, wrecked by the alien. The protagonist has always belonged to a socially outcast group. Eventually, it is revealed that the protagonist is half alien himself.
Yeah, half alien punk rock.
He is accompanied by his girlfriend over the disapproval of her father.
My girlfriend?
Colavito suggests that these similarities to Barney Hill's own biography go, quote-unquote, beyond coincidental and encouraged him to mingle with the more fantastical elements of the story into his hypnosis-induced recollections.
Dude, that's crazy. That's crazy. Imagine being, like, under hypnosis and you're just recounting details from a TV show like it's your own life. Or, like, you're using detail like, kind of, like, as a guide for your story that you're going to tell under hypnosis. That's, I mean, because, I mean...
And then I rolled out of the car like Mannix, and it's just like right now, I'm like, yes, just like Mannix.
There was a goddamn hat at that store today, and I told our friend to get it, and it was like a Kojak like hat, you know?
Kojak.
Who loved you?
after you rolled out of the car, then what happened? Well, after then, there was an advertisement for Hungry Man dinners. I guess the new thing.
And Lucky Strikes. I could really go for a Lucky Strike right now. The aliens love Lucky Strikes.
You know, it's funny. I never liked those. You ever try them? I tried them.
Lucky Strike.
Yeah, I smoked one pack in my life, and I was like, I'm gonna make this work. You know, they're cheaper, and there's none of that filtering going on.
It really gives you a good head rush.
I mean, yeah, it was too much for me though, bro. It just gave me headaches. I went right back to my baby smoker Marlboro Menthol Lights, the softest
I never
cigarette,
did,
the Drake of cigarettes.
I never did Lucky Strike specifically, but I did Tops, the hand rolled tobacco, like your own little rolling papers it comes with. I did those. Same thing as Lucky Strike, unfiltered cigarette. It was just like
hipster bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I was locked up.
Oh yeah, you were locked up at the time. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get cigarettes anymore, man. I mean, honestly, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall the day that they took cigarettes out of the commissary and told them no more smoking. Oh man, dude, that oof. Those places must have been rough.
Oh my!
That's God. When they—that's when the flaming toilet paper comes out, and that's when they start chanting Attica.
Attica. I just chanted it like Chuck Schumer. We will win.
We will not go.
We will win. Shut the fuck up.
Hell
Chuck.
No, we will go.
The guy hasn't inspired anything other than bowel movements.
The Children of Spider County aired 5 days before Hill's February 22nd hypnosis session. Meanwhile, Colavito also relates the Hill's recovered memories of aliens, quote-unquote, in shiny black jackets to the Twilight Zone episode of January 31st, 1964, titled Black Leather Jackets, in which three aliens disguised as humans in black leather jackets come to Earth, but one of them falls in love with a human girl.
This literally sounds like the plot of a Psychobilly album, you know?
Literally.
Coincidentally, Lee Kinsolving plays the alien in love with a human girl in both The Children of Spider County and The Black Leather Jackets.
Black Leather Jackets? So that sounds like that's a cool name, like for a gang.
It sounds like a
Don't
band
fuck
name.
With that guy over there. Yeah. He's in the Black Leather Jackets.
When Bruce Springsteen splits off from the E Street Band, he's going to go start Black Leather Jackets.
Oh, Black Leather Jackets. And they came down from outer Spain.
But his Black Leather Jacket bullshit. Doesn't have sleeves. It's more of a vest.
Trust me, bro. I seen them with my own eyes. They came up from space now. Yeah.
I brought up fucking the boss, and all of a sudden, just kind of like it
damn, you shouldn't have fucking thought you fucking fucked up, Ryan. And now I
gotta be careful.
Bruce Springsteen was his activation phrase for the New Jersey and him to just fucking come out.
Whoa, sorry guys, I blacked out in the booth. How long was I at it?
Steve's just gonna get up, get in his car, start it, and drive to the Stone Pony.
Roll the windows. It's like cold as shit outside. Just roll the windows down. Roll up my fucking sleeve. Buy a pack of cigarettes. Don't smoke them. Just shove them in there like James Dean.
Oh god. Stupid question. Is that
I'm
his
getting
birth
pulled
name?
Over? Huh? What?
Bruce Springsteen.
Is that his birth name?
Yeah, he's Jew.
Oh my god, that was not.
You got a problem with that,
with my buddy? I didn't know if that was a stage name or if that was on his birth certificate.
Nah, it's his name.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, anyway. I've never heard him. I'm not aware of him having a nom de plume.
His full name is Bruce Frederick Joseph Springsteen.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. Who the fuck knows?
I still need to watch the documentary about Steven Van Zandt.
Yeah, I love Van Zandt. I thought Lilyhammer was actually a pretty good show. When he got he just was basically reprising Silvio Dante, kind of, except like I guess in shape. I don't know.
The author Philip Copins, he would write about the abductee contact movement and its ties to the intelligence community. Copins would say it is clear that the Hills were being monitored by U.S. Air Force intelligence before the encounter took place, through a Major James McDonald, who had befriended them some time earlier. Betty Hill wrote to Donald Kehoe, who, despite the fact that he received over 100 letters a day, homed in on this initially unremarkable case.
You know, every time you say Betty Hill, I think of Khan from King of the Hill saying Peggy Hill.
Oh, my God.
Betty Hill.
Peggy Hill.
Betty Hill, yeah. Oh, you full of shit, Betty Hill.
At
get off
stage,
lawn. Lay ocean.
Should be noted at that stage, the Hills remembered only the UFO sighting, not the abduction. Within 24 hours, Kehoe had arranged for the Hills to be visited by top-level scientists, including C.D. Jackson, who had previously definitely
Jackson sounds
not
like a Cowboys receiver.
Not coincidentally, he's one of Jerry's boys.
Yeah.
Worked on psychological warfare techniques for President Eisenhower.
I believe in your alien things, but I need you to play cornerback.
Unless Bill Nye was there, these are not the top scientists, and that's all I'm going to say.
Now, Bill, if you have any issues, I have the best doctors in Mexico on retainer. stretching coincidence
Jared
far
Jones
beyond
is a scumbag, and he's God damn it.
Stretching coincidence far beyond breaking point. Jackson already knew Major McDonald, with whom he next interviewed the Hills.
How do you know? Oh man,
this is going to turn very quickly into a corporal punishment classroom.
Oh yeah.
He's going to start beating us.
Oh, yeah.
This is how I know.
That's why I just bring the flail to class and just break a desk with it. Most importantly, it was Jackson who drew the Hills' attention to their missing time period. Mm-hmm. Until he did so, the couple had not realized that their memories of that fateful night were incomplete. It was Jackson who suggested hypnotic regression as a means of unlocking it. It was Jackson who then arranged for one of the Army's top psychiatric experts to undertake the regression, as if a civilian expert was not available, under which the full story of the joint abduction emerged. However, as many researchers have since demonstrated, a careful review of the timings actually shows that there was no missing time at all. It seems that Betty and Barney Hill were at the center of a web that involved U.S. Air Force intelligence and top military experts in psychological warfare. The evidence suggests that the Hills were the subjects or victims of a psychological experiment. This may seem a tall claim, but the evidence that defense and intelligence agencies undertook such experiments in other contexts on unknowing and innocent subjects in the 1950s and 60s is now overwhelming. In particular, the exposure of the CIA's notorious MKUltra project into various mind control techniques caused a major scandal in the 1970s.
I got Mortal Kombat Ultra. It's good. Picked it up in Mexico.
You got the unrated version. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And the
you can see Sonya Blade's titties.
You can twice.
You almost say that in like a Tom Waits cadence. And the writer Martin Cannon also posits in his book The Controllers that the U.S. government may have used alien abduction as a cover for mind control experiments.
I mean, I believe that.
That's one of those things that does pop out to me about, like,
it's
their connections.
It's more believable than the aliens. It just is.
Yes. It definitely is. But just the fact that they're these sort of, like, they're not major civil rights leaders, but they're growing civil rights leaders, and they suddenly become friends with, like, people who are in like the Air Force and like these other like government related things.
Yeah.
They're involved in like psychological warfare. And it's just like, yeah, this is sort of shaping up. Like these people got taken for a ride and probably got dosed with something and then had them go through a thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the fucking Unabomber.
Yeah. Like,
All I'm saying is that Ted K makes some good points to you. That's all I'm saying. And they become more and more better.
I'm not saying that didn't have salient points, Steve. What I'm saying is you can't be blowing people up.
Wait, so he was saying that they were involved in the pre-MK Ultra program?
Well, I think he's saying that they were involved in, like, related MK Ultra stuff.
Ted Kaczynski was there.
Yeah, Ted Kaczynski was
James Whitey Bulger was there.
Yeah, so it was Whitey Bulger. But the thing about Whitey Bulger,
so they were in like Operation Bluebird, weren't they?
I think so. But the funny thing about Whitey Bulger is that I don't think it really like impacted him that much, because by his own accounts that they did, well, they didn't do anything to him because he pretended like he wasn't affected by it. Like he sort of like tried to willpower his way through being like dosed.
I read something on it where it was like he got dosed so fucking much, like everybody in that program got, but he got dosed so fucking much you can't just sit there and act like nothing's going on. Like he got the equivalent of like 150 hits in like an hour. Like, dude, you can't just sit. Like, you'd be
I'm
talking
fine.
To Jesus
no,
Christ
I'm fine.
Himself.
No, listen, I'm fine. All right?
You're literally talking to an orange and thinking that you're like in Dubai talking to.
I'm glad you guys. I'm glad
orange.
You guys are in my cell to talk to me because I'm very lonely, Laurel and Hardy.
I'm sure that's why they kept
to Bob Hope.
they kept dosing him because he kept pretending like it wasn't affecting him. So they're just like, we got to keep up in the dose. They just keep turning the knob.
Say, Mr. Bulger, do you smoke cigars?
He just looks at him, his pupils.
I'm working on my
bouncing,
Bob Hope.
Just like big, small, big, small, big, small.
You just got to keep 36 of your teeth touching each other when you're talking to do a Bob Hope.
Well, the thing about like psychedelics like that, I don't think there's many cases of people who do drugs like that and become like psychotic.
It is a thing that can happen. It can happen with any drug, really. But
I think he was already sociopathic.
Weed's one of the things that can cause it. People literally
it's
have
not
like spontaneous
necessarily that it
psychosis.
Will cause it. It's that it's in you, but it just brings it out worse.
Well, yeah, probably.
No, there's a thing with weed called I forget what the fuck it's called. It's like induced psychosis, and it's like it's a legit like diagnosis. So it just,
I mean,
it
we've all seen that episode
of
Dragnet, Steve.
It only happens to a small number of people.
I watched Madness the other night.
It's the same way. It's the exact same thing as you know how like you have some friends who if they drink they just get like they get angry. You ever met anyone like that?
Yeah, it's called alcohol.
Yeah. No, that doesn't happen to everybody. A lot of people are like happy drunks or mad drunks, but there are some people who, if they drink liquor, they like lose their shit. It's a well-known thing. I know one. He's insane. Every time I know two guys like that.
Yeah, but like baseline, they're insane, and the liquor just makes it worse. Yes.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, you never really know a person, but they're fairly normal people. Yeah.
Well, apparently, there's a big problem now with like the modern marijuana, which is like much stronger than like marijuana in the past.
Oh yeah, it's
and
super
that, like,
strong.
That, like, kids are getting, like, marijuana psychosis because they're doing, like, ridiculous, like, milligram levels of, like, marijuana, like...
I think it's an extremely small number of people who get it, apparently. And most of the people who go to, like, the ER, I'm sure Ryan knows, are just, like, they're just too high, you know, like you're saying. Like, it's just...
Dude, we had a guy the other night who had never in his life done marijuana. And I guess he decided that he was going to eat a brownie that one of his friends had prepared.
Oh, that is such a bad idea. He's going to be high for like 5 hours.
So he eats, the way the story goes is like he eats the brownie. He doesn't feel like anything's going on.
I'm not even doing nothing. I'm fine.
He eats it. Long story short, this dude eats like 1,000 milligrams.
Oh, man, that's like a Joey Diaz hit.
So, yeah, that's like a Joe Rogan level fucking brownie, right? So this guy eats 1,000 milligrams of weed, comes into the ER, and he is just high as giraffe nuts. He is fucking in the ionosphere, floating around, waving at the fucking astronauts on the ISS. They're like, dog, we have
to eat this black pepper, you'll calm down.
We just had to put him in a room, dim the lights, give him some warm blankets, give him a bunch of Gatorades, put the TV on some cartoons, and just let him snooze. And apparently he was like tripping until everybody was like, dude, you're good. And then once he finally kind of came off that, oh my God, I'm dying because I ate way too much weed, it's kind of like, okay, I got to ride this out. This fucking sucks now.
Just got to ride it out. Did you know that if you eat black peppercorn, when you're too high, it'll calm you down and take away some of the high.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you have to chew on it. Like
I'm good. I don't want to break my teeth.
They crush it easily. It's just like little like table peppercorns, you know, the black ones.
Oh, okay.
But the problem is it's a whole ass peppercorn. You don't realize how fucking spicy that shit is.
Yeah, you don't want to fucking, no.
I've done it one time, dude, because I was, gone.
I will say that Stavros Halkias has a story where he accidentally did 1,000 milligrams. Mm-hmm. And he missed his flight because he wouldn't leave the hotel room because he was so messed up.
Yeah, it definitely awesome. Like people who get really high tend to either get like trippy like that guy or they get paranoid, like anxious. You know?
The last time I did edibles, I ate two right off. Like we did the math on how much was in each one.
That's
so I did two
much.
Right away. No, it's not because after two, I didn't feel anything. I waited 2 hours. Didn't feel any.
Well, you might have that enzyme, like my.
So I ate a third, right? I ate a third. Didn't feel anything after about an hour, so I ate a half of a fourth. Went to sleep. It hit me like a train. I just went to sleep. So I need to figure out. Yeah, like I just need like.
Listen, there's this enzyme. I think it's a liver enzyme, and your body won't produce or won't. It can't work with THC. Doesn't take it up, so it has no effect. So some people eat edibles, they have like little to no effect, or it doesn't take any effect at all.
I feel like that's me, but I also feel like I got to a point where it's like
it's only edibles,
I just got
too.
Like knocked out by Joe Frazier. It was like, hey, by the way, good night, boom.
Well, you might have just taken, I mean, if you're not high on the one, I know CBD doesn't give you a like the same type of high, so like you may not even notice it, and then you just take like the sleepy dose.
Yeah.
Ah, Ryan took a whole sleepy dose over there. Holy shit. That's not...
He took Ryan
all Trace Leche.
Ryan became the sleepy time bear.
Yeah, just take like half the Trace Leche. This ain't nothing to me,
Ryan
dog. This ain't nothing to me, dog. You know who I am? You know
Ryan
who I am?
Woke up in the morning with the worst cotton mouth in fucking existence, bro.
Hey. Somebody give me some water.
Like it was so awful.
Ever. Oh, man. I've never, that's so much. I've never do that. Those edibles last a long time, too. Because, like, vape and smoke does not last long. It's like 2-3 hours. But those edibles, man, like, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning. Baby. And I'm still doing the fucking, like, the goddamn dementia shuffle, you know. Like, I don't have dopamine. And, you know, you do that, like, creepy walk when you're real fucking high. It's so funny as shit. My wife's like, you can't hide when you're really high because you, like, creep through the living room like Bela Lugosi.
You fucking cooked.
It's so funny. And then you get in the other room and you're like, whew, I made it. You know, it's like ridiculous.
It was a 45-minute journey to the other side of the world.
So good. Way better than Betty Hill's life. Jesus Christ.
Well, on that note.
What, she's dead?
Damn, on that note.
Yeah, she died in 2004.
Betty Hill catches a stray right as we shut it down.
I just, you know, I don't know. I get annoyed a little bit when they involve real science. Like, I don't know why. I feel like that should be sacrosanct with this crap, but like,
yeah,
there's just
the
so many dumb people out there.
It's the same as the ghost hunters. What do they got the
What are they dude? Called? That's the analogy I was gonna make. Yeah, the ghost hunters and the alien hunters are the exact same people. Like they're just mentally, you know. There's never been one
Ed and Lorraine,
fucking verifiable.
Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah, and Lorraine Warren.
Ed and Lorraine,
yeah. Yeah, they were
Ed
at MegaCon.
And Benny, but they're the exact same people, just searching for different things.
Yeah. Yep. And there's no evidence of any of them. That's the thing with that Ghost Hunter show. There was like all these episodes and they would just kind of like show like the guys freaking out and shit moving around and stuff. And you'd just be like, okay. Right. But then they would never go back to it. They would never explain it again or anything like that. Like you guys are full of shit, man. Good God.
Well, on that note,
I'm just trying to make Steve like have to sit here. Jeez. All right. Good night.
Good night. Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. And if you like Donald Trump, fuck you.